No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That beautiful sentiment from the reading from St. John's Gospel that we heard this evening, and one which I have heard many times in the context of Remembrance Sunday, a verse given to show appreciation and admiration for those who indeed laid down their lives in the many conflicts of the last century and a half or so, the conflicts we particularly call to mind in these remembrance observances. And though I do indeed appreciate the sentiment and share in the admiration of those who have died and been injured while serving, and mourn the loss of many who have died and continue to die in conflicts worldwide, all of that notwithstanding, it's a terrible use of Scripture. It's an example of how badly we misinterpret and misapply verses from our Bibles to justify all kinds of things. It's a bit like a meme I see up, constantly cropping up on Facebook, set against the background of mountains or a sunrise or something equally inspirational like one of these motivational posters, with the words printed in bold type, "I can do all things through a Bible verse taken out of context," which in itself is a deliberate misquote of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Again, another one of those verses that gets pulled out of context and misapplied all over the place. When the phrase, "No one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends," is put into the mouth of Jesus in John chapter 15, and yes, it was put into the mouth of Jesus because there's very little or no evidence that Jesus said much or any of what we have in John's Gospel. Anyway, when these words come from Jesus' mouth in this part of John's Gospel, its context is as part of what we call the farewell discourses, the speeches that appear only in John's Gospel, in which Jesus talks about his death, goes on to say something of how this growing group of his followers should relate to and serve one another, and tells them of some of the difficulties they will face in the shape of persecution and misunderstanding. This passage of John that we heard today follows on from Jesus describing himself as the true vine and encourages his followers to remain grafted into him. It's a spiritual concept, a devotional text, which seeks to remind the early Jesus movement, probably in or around Jerusalem towards the end of the first century, it seeks to remind them of the divine nature of Jesus and the need to remain connected to that divine nature. And the way to be connected, says this whole passage, says this whole chapter of John chapter 15, is love. "Abide in my love," says Jesus repeatedly in John chapter 15. It is through love that all people will recognize a Jesus follower. It is love that will be the way of life that marks out these Jesus people as distinctive. That's not to say that love doesn't call us to great acts of self-giving and even self-sacrifice. But to be clear, it wasn't the intention of the original writers. John 15, verse 13, is not a way of encouraging those who are either going to fight in an armed conflict or to reassure those who have lost loved ones in a war that they are doing or have done the right thing. And I mean no disrespect in any of this. There are many instances of bravery and self-sacrifice which have been told of those who have fought in wars, particularly in those conflicts against fascist and totalitarian regimes. There are many who have been inspired by love of their fellow human beings to stand up against armies and serve in the military. But what I do think we need to be clear on is that in no way does the scripture we heard tonight relate to that. This verse, this passage, is a meditation on the self-giving divine love that Jesus wants us to know. And it encourages its hearers to offer their lives in service of one another. And it does not mention and does not necessarily apply to the idea of physically dying for one another. Again, self-giving love may lead someone, it may inspire someone to die for another, but that's not what the passage is saying. And it's important to say this because despite the light-hearted meme that I referenced, that I can do all things through a Bible verse taken out of context, there have been, indeed there are, many who use individual verses or short Bible passages in such a way as to manipulate others, to manipulate the truth, and to reinforce a certain way of viewing the world, often to their own gain, or to the gain of a particular philosophical or political movement. Yes, we all read the Bible in our own way, and more often than not, we will interpret it unquestioningly, without even thinking what we are reading into our scriptures as much as we read out of them. But there are many of us, and I include myself and many members of this congregation, as well as colleagues and friends that I have, who seek to step back, to question our own privilege, our prejudice, and our culture when we encounter these scriptures, as well as seeking to find out what the original context was and what it may have meant to those first hearers of these texts. And we seek to allow these ancient texts to be in dialogue with our contemporary world rather than making proclamations about it. We don't always get it right. And speaking for myself, I know I am constantly learning and have much still to learn. But if you don't remember anything else I've said in the past few minutes, please remember this. Never, ever trust a sentence that begins with, "The Bible says."